Join me, Chelsea Ursin, on season 3 of my podcast, Dear Young Rocker. Tune in to hear some of my favorite musicians tell stories from their awkward musical beginnings, reconnect with the teenager they used to be, and remember what it's like to fall in love with your favorite band for the first time. Listen to Dear Young Rocker Season 3 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parental advisory and listener discretion warning. We want to start by saying that this episode deals with content that may be triggering for kids or individuals that suffer from depression and or have experience with suicide. And with that being said, this story is very real for many, many kids and may be important to hear.
There are people that are going through so much that you can't really see from the surface level, and that it's so important to check in with your loved ones.
We had no idea, and we wish we saw the signs, and it just happened. Pretty heartbreaking. There's just been too many to count.
How are you? How are you really?
You're going through life, and it's tough. But what's going to happen to you? How do you get through it? Does anyone even understand? I wish someone could tell me what to do. Hi, I'm Samantha Logan, and this is We Got You, a podcast for kids whose hard questions are answered by the older teenage kids who have already been through it. January is National Mentoring Month. And digging into this episode, we really hope that you can use the show as sort of a resource if you need it this month. 1 in 8 kids in the U.S. have reported at least one major depressive episode in the past year. A major depressive episode, or MDE, is a period of at least 2 weeks of low mood present in every situation. More importantly, the rates of suicide among young people has jumped nearly 60% since 2007. My guest today is an older teen kid, 17 to be exact, and although she wishes to remain anonymous, she suffered major depression after her school crush attempted suicide. She had curiosity about what his sadness felt like and what provoked him to make the attempt. Although she never attempted suicide herself, she speaks about the battles she faced with understanding the powerful emotions that she felt, and most importantly, how she understood those emotions should not overpower her. Listener discretion is advised, as this episode may be triggering if you have suffered from depression.
I moved to Sweden at the start of high school. I was scared, lonely, and really desperate for friends and attention. And then a guy moved later, so it took more notice. And he took notice in me. He'd sit next to me all the time and talk with me and stuff. But he had a girlfriend, and he kept texting me and telling me things and being nice to me. So I kept hanging out with him because I liked feeling male approval, because I was insecure. I knew that him saying and doing the things he was doing while he was in a relationship, also knowing that I liked him, because he did know I liked him, meant that he probably wasn't the best person. And I think he himself struggled with a lot of issues, like depression, and he was on all various medications. So then eventually, in my senior year, like, this has gone on for 3 years. It was like a living hell for 3 years of him basically playing with me, you know, giving me attention, then avoiding me. And then he tried to jump off a bridge. And then I got really sad because the summer before that, someone that I knew for actually probably like 7 years, like a really close friend, like, he used to come over to my house. He slept over sometimes. Like, he killed himself. So it was already like a sensitive topic, you know, suicide. So October 13th, I think he tried. And then after that, I think it was kind of surreal. And it made me think about everything else, like all the people that have died in my life, and my friend that killed himself. And I thought, like, I don't know, I like these people a lot, and how do I explain it? Like, I think these people are better than me. These people should be alive. I didn't want to be alive. It was feeling like I wasn't deserving. And I was, like, frustrated because I liked these people a lot and I wanted them to have a good life. And that made me not want to be around because I didn't want to be around knowing that they were in pain when I liked them so much. Being a teenager, it's normal to feel sad and emotional all the time, but I don't think I've ever felt anything that powerful and that scary in a way, because it was a bit too dark. And once I got into that, my friends that I made in Stockholm, they come up and told me like that I was too much for them, and that they don't like being around me because they just don't like seeing me in pain, and they'd rather just not be my friend anymore. So they left. So then I was just alone, and I skipped school a lot. I wasn't really interested in talking. I think when you're in a state where you're that sad and you don't really want to do anything anymore, you don't have the urge to share or talk about it, really. You just want to be done with everything. I found something to look forward to. I think that's the biggest thing. That's how everyone gets out of those kind of states of minds. You find something to look forward to or something that you care about. I found out that I want to go to college. I want to see what else there is to life. I want to get a boyfriend, damn it. I haven't had a boyfriend yet. I can't die yet. I think you feel like you've lived and you feel like you've seen everything when you're young, you know, and you feel like you know more than you actually do. You know, so in that time you can be like, this is life. Life sucks. And then you realize, wow, there's a life after this. Maybe I should check it out, see if it's worthwhile. And it usually is. I think looking back on it in a weird way, when that guy I liked tried to kill himself, I was so scared and I felt so distant from him. And I cared so much about him, so I wanted to feel closer to him, right? And it was almost like, in a way, I wanted to be sad and I wanted to feel awful because I wanted to feel closer to him. And I knew he was on medication. I was like, okay, I want to be on medication. I want to be like him. I want to understand him. I guess also it was that kind of thing, like, you know, having people, you know, try to kill themselves or succeed in killing themselves, like I've experienced, you know, feeling so frustrated that you want to understand it, that I'm young, I haven't lived. Even if you've experienced things, you know, you've had friends, you've been bullied, something happened, suicide, you know, life's tough. Like, you haven't actually lived yet. Like, you haven't had the chance to actually become who you want to become. You haven't had the freedom yet to develop a life that you like. And because of that, you haven't actually lived the life you want to live. And, you know, you can't really make a judgment on whether or not you want to continue this life or not because you haven't started. I think you just realize that it doesn't mean that much. Things that happen that you think are so important. To be completely honest, I think also emotional things like that, you know, being depressed, being suicidal, it's not one thing. It's a buildup of things. When you are that sad or that suicidal, you're not really rational. In a weird way, you're just super emotional. Even if you feel no emotions, it's because you have so many emotions. So you don't really have a rational thought process. Something that I think a lot and that I think is cool to think about is that I try to tell myself that, like, nobody's actually looking or judging you because they're too busy wondering if people are judging them, you know? And I think that that's cool to think about, partly because it makes you feel less alone in your insecurities, like, oh, everyone feels insecure. And also because it helps you realize, like, oh yeah, like, I'm not looking around judging people. I don't care that she's wearing those jeans. People are too busy with their own lives to really dissect every part of you. It's not really your business what other people think of you, because it's not really about you, it's more about them.
Despite the rise in teen depression, there has not been enough corresponding increase in treatment or awareness of mental health. If any of you experience this type of feeling, it's so important to know that you are not alone. There is help for you. And we will give you some information of who you can contact if you need someone to speak to at the end of our episode. So now is the part of the show where we take questions from you out there. We ask kids age 9 through 13 around the country through various networks to submit, and we had lots of responses. So if you would like to submit a question for future episodes, DM us on our Instagram account, We Got You Show. For today's panel of experts, we have our featured anonymous teen, who is also joined by Jasmine, who we will also speak to about depression on a later episode. I think I need therapy, but I am afraid to tell my parents because I don't want them to know that I'm going through anything or to have to tell them what it is. What can I do? Can I find someone to talk to without them finding out?
Probably not. I know in America, it's like that. Like, you can't do that without your parents knowing, right? Like if you go to a therapist, you go to someone, and you're like, oh, I'm suicidal. They're like, oh, let me tell your parents. I'm not wrong, am I?
Yeah, that is exactly. Yeah, like, I just went and got reevaluated, you know, because they're like, you know, they had to check, you know, are you still sad to, you know, give me my medication? And yeah, that's exactly what they said, you know, because I was asking questions because, you know, because eventually I want to become like a psychiatrist. So they were like, yeah, if you say this, and they're like, oh yeah, we have to tell, you know, a parent or guardian. And even, you know, where I'm at, we don't really have much access to mental health professionals in our schools, you know, because you could have some sort of confidentiality, but where I'm at, we don't have that either. Like, we're working on it, but it's not good.
I think it's good to realize that, like, your parents are people too. Like, I think it's easy to, like, think of your parents as, like, your parents and not as individuals. And I think the reality of it is that most individuals have, like, gone through depression, or, like, they've been, you know, they've had times when they were sad. And I think, like, yeah, like, it's good to realize that your parents probably understand what you're feeling, or they're, like, familiar with other people feeling it. So it's not like, yeah, you shouldn't feel uncomfortable. That doesn't really help, but it might, maybe, like, thinking that way helps. Like, your parents probably understand you.
I would agree, because, you know, when I was going through what, you know, before I really talked to my parents, you know, I realized that, you know, I can be open, and that, you know, once I had told them, and they, you know, I guess they sort of understood, I got the help I needed, and yeah, it doesn't hurt to be open.
Yeah. Like, I always thought my mom would freak out, but she was just kind of like, oh yeah, like, I was too. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Well, not cool, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think my friends were, like, my main outlet for, and they still are. Like, I probably still tell my friends more than I tell my parents. And I think, like, you know, if you have friends that you're comfortable confiding in, you should really try and, like, you know, talk to them. Because it is almost like therapy, you know, talking with your friends. Maybe not exactly, but, you know, it can be somewhat therapeutic.
You know, I tried dealing with it on my own. And, you know, I think, yeah, friends, and then, you know, that occasionally, you know, that one trusted adult
that's not your parents you could talk to. But I think mainly, yeah, it was more friends that I went to. Me, I would have told myself to tell my parents sooner, and then maybe I wouldn't be as deep down in the and in a hole as I am now. You know, because yeah, I did have that sense, you know, of, you know, telling my parents and, you know, like being scared of how they would react, or just letting other people know because of that stigma, like, oh, she's, you know, acting, I don't know. But yeah, I would have just came out sooner and, you know, been more open.
No, I was just thinking, because like for me, like I remember when I was younger, like there were moments when I was like, oh, like I would like ask my mom, like, oh, therapy and stuff. But I think in a weird way, until you get that dark, people don't take you seriously enough, which is something I think we should try and fix as a whole. I mean, I guess it also depends on your parents, but I think, like, you know, like my parents cared and everything, but I don't think they realized how bad it was. And because of that, I didn't get the help I needed quick enough. Especially when you're young, like the younger you are, the less they're going to take it seriously, because, you know, I mean, I've noticed this myself too. Like the older you get, the more you're just kind of like, oh, like you don't have problems at that age. Like, you know, I think it's hard to understand like that it can be difficult, because you almost like grow away from it and you kind of forget like that you also had problems when you were younger. Maybe not as seriously, but yeah.
I would say the same thing, because that's also why, you know, me personally, I didn't say anything until I was, you know, older, because, you know, like, oh, this is just, you know, you being, you know, you growing up, it's just you being like a teenager or like a tween, or, you know, and it's just like, oh, it's just a part of like growing up and, you know, things like that. So I think just kids should be taken more seriously, I guess, especially around mental health, because, you know, your mental health at a young age will really impact you when you're older.
That's a good point. I used to get that all the time too. Like, because I had like, you know, there's like emotional problems. And if I had like anger issues, like, you know, all the signs that I gave to having potential mental problems were just kind of dismissed as being a moody tween or teenager. And they're like, oh, typical teenager. I'm like, okay.
A friend told me they were thinking about suicide because of things that have been said to them online. But they swore me to secrecy and I want to help them. What should I do?
You know, you don't want to see anything bad happen. And, you know, when worse comes to worse, and I would reach out to someone to get them help. And, you know, this, you know, I guess not the specific situation, but, you know, if, you know, some friends, you know, different people, you know, have, you know, completed suicide around me. And, you know, and you don't want that to happen. And I would just, you know, even if they might hate you for telling someone, you would rather them be alive and hate you than not hear at all.
Yeah, I think it's just about realizing that this is important and it could end up being really bad if no action is taken, and just kind of getting over that. I mean, in that situation, I'd probably tell my mom, or I'd tell like a teacher, because like, I don't know, it depends on how close you are with your friend's parents, but maybe that's a bit kind of, yeah, maybe it's better to go through that like medium of communication rather than just going up to their parents and be like, yeah.
What I've been through, I would, yeah. It just, you'd rather them hear and, you know, have ill feelings for saying something than, yeah, than just not hear at all.
For me, it was recognizing or understanding that like, what I was feeling was not how I was supposed to be feeling. Like, it was hard for me to identify that this wasn't just like, as you said, like a depression is normal. Like, it's very common, but like that, like, that's not how life's supposed to be. You're not supposed to be depressed. Like, you know, like it was hard for me to recognize that I was struggling with some sort of mental problem, and seeing that this wasn't an emotion that was like, just like you're supposed to have, like, this is something I'm just supposed to live with. You're not healthy. Like, it was hard for me to realize that I was unhealthy. Like, I thought I was just like, oh, I was just like, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how life is. I guess this is just another emotion I'm supposed to do. Yeah.
Okay, so I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to We Got You. We Got You is a podcast that gives a voice to every kid out there who doesn't have anyone to go to for advice, who might be scared to ask their friends, older siblings, or parents for help. We're here for you. And remember that right now is just a tiny part of your life, and you will get through it. Tune in for the next episode where we speak with Asha, a 14-year-old who told her entire sixth grade class that she suffers from ADHD. If you want a chance to have your questions answered or appear on our show, submit your questions via DM on our Instagram at WeGotYouShow or visit us at WeGotYouShow.com. If you need to speak with someone about depression or suicide, even if you may only be thinking about it, Suicide Prevention is a hotline you can call for help to speak with someone 24/7. Dial 800-273-8255. Again, that's 800-273-8255. We Got You is sponsored by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with special thanks to PRX and Trax for support. Production assistant is Carolina Garrigo. Theme music by Dima. Original composition by Dimitri Libman, Ollie Chang, and Guy Brown. Music edit, sound design, and mix by Rob Ballingle. Dialogue edit by Michelle Medias. And music supervision by Justin Morris. We Got You is created, written, and produced by Hallie Petro and Brandon Legenke in association with Sonic Union NYC. Till next time, this is Samantha Logan saying, We Got You.
Support for Trax comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
This is Trax from PRX.